Blog Talk Radio.
Well, praise the Lord, everybody. I want to welcome you to another edition of the Miracle Man Show here on Wednesday, the 21st day of April of 2021. And I am your host this evening, the Miracle Man, coming to you live from here in Midland, Michigan, where I live. And it's great to be with you, all of you, whether you're from here in Michigan, in the United States, or from a land afar off. I remember one day I had been notified that we had listeners listening on 6 of the 7 continents of the earth. North America, South America, Europe, Africa, Asia, and Australia/Oceania. And also from many different countries. And I'm so grateful that you have tuned in tonight to this great broadcast. Like I said, wherever you're tuning in from and however you have found out about this broadcast. And I'm believing God that you received something from the Lord tonight. And for those of you who were not listening the past couple nights, for those of you who have been listening the last couple nights, also, I had said that I would be having a special guest here on the air to talk about her recent trip to Honduras and about what happened there, what God did there. And what it's going to be is that I'm going to ask her these questions about, you know, what it's like there for these listeners who don't know what Honduras is like. And also, I'm going to have her share the testimonies of what God did there, because I know she spoke a couple times. And I'm going to have her tell you, my listeners, about that. So, my mother, also known as Julie Shukla, listening from Clarkston, Michigan. You're here on the Miracle Man program. Hello?
Julie. Hello.
From Clarkston, you're on the, hello, Julie from Clarkston, you're here on the show.
Yes.
Hello?
Praise
you hear
God.
Me?
Yes, can
all
you
right.
hear me?
Yes. So, for my listeners, what exactly is it like in Honduras? I know right now, obviously, in these times, like here in the States, you know, with COVID and everything else, obviously it's different in ways than it might otherwise be. Can you explain to my listeners about this thing about how they spray you down?
Oh, yes. It's kind of funny. They do. They're very serious about, you know, eliminating and preventing the spread of COVID, and it's somehow, you know, and thanks be to God, their COVID numbers have been very, very low. But they have you, you know, you walk up to the a gas station, you have to walk through this sponge thing that has bleach and water in it, and then they frequently will mist you down your everything, you know, your hair to your bottom of your shoes with this misty stuff, and whether your purse is open or closed, you know, they just, it's a mist spray. You must have your mask on, and it must cover your nose. You know, I mean, they're very strict, and yet, you know, Riv, they have all these rules, but they have armed guards. I mean, they carry machete guns, or I don't know if that's what they're called. They carry these big guns frequently.
Yeah.
There will be two men standing there to reinforce that every person follow the COVID orders. And then when you're driving down the road, probably if you drive over an hour, you will probably get stopped two to three times. And they do checks. They check your passport. They check your driver's license. They check that you're wearing seatbelts. They check the vehicles. And want to know where you've been and where you're going.
Wow. And those of us who live in various states in America, we think that we are under strict restrictions, which, yes, compared to other states, but you look at Honduras and you go, wow.
Oh, yeah. And even the pharmacies, you have to go in. You can't go up to the counters and look for things anymore. You have to tell them what you want. And then they bring out to you what they have. They might show you two different name brands or two different sizes. But, you know, it's not like the shelves are just full of everything. You have to ask for what you want. Now, the grocery stores, they are still, you can pick out what you want, but not the pharmacies.
So the grocery stores are still like how they are, a bit more like how they are in America.
Oh, yes. Yes.
All right. So talk to us about you ministering to these different people that you ministered to in Honduras.
Well, Rev, it's absolutely amazing how God helped us. It was, like, incredible. Natalia's a missionary. She's been there for five years. So people know her. And the first day that I got, when I arrived in the morning, this Episcopalian priest, female, could explain several things to her about the book I wrote about you, Rivers. And
that's good.
So, yes, she asked me questions. We went through the book. It took 5 hours because of all the things that she did not understand. She, you know, you have to understand a few things about the Episcopalian Church. They are given a scripture a week sent from their headquarters in Honduras, and that is what they preach about, that's the scripture for the week. And so they don't know how to walk with Jesus. They did not. The things that impressed them the most about your book, Rivers, is wondering how we endured, why we didn't give up, And they have no idea what it means to walk in faith and trust Jesus. They have no idea the concept of the church family being there for us and us loving the church. You know how in the book Rivers I talk about me taking you and Raymond to the church parking lot. She just could not grasp that concept. So I met with her that day, but then later I got, you know, to meet with other people. She set up times that I would go meet with other people. The day after I met her, she had me meet with 5 single ladies. Most of them had babies, you know, 2, 3, but the husbands, most of them were never married, but, you know, and she wanted me to share with them and teach them as well. Now, their church has a little, they break glass, like beer bottles, and they shape jewelry and things to hang on the wall, and that's how those girls support themselves. And the church lets them sell things. I saw the soup kitchen. The soup kitchen is closed right now because it cost $300 a week, Rivers, for them to feed 400 people, 2 meals for that week. But they don't have $300 right now. I'm working on that. One of the other ministry things that we did is we went, there was a family, Rivers, this boy doesn't leave his house. He is autistic, and because his family, his behavior is unpredictable, and he might make a hoot noise sometimes. But he doesn't talk, and sometimes he acts scared. So his family doesn't take him nowhere. And I got to go meet him, and him and I probably, he likes to fist, I don't know how you say it, but bump riff, you know, like that. So. Yeah, he did that with me probably 30 times. And, yeah, and in about a half hour. And then we saw where they live, and, you know, they live in shacks. They live in 90% of the garages in America, in the United States, I should say. In the United States, are bigger than their homes. And a lot of them don't have electricity. If they do have electricity, it's one light bulb hanging. And so, but this autistic man, his brother came to church Sunday night and asked Jesus into his heart.
Praise God.
Yeah.
It's always great when you win souls. That's always a great thing because that's the only thing we can take with us to heaven is souls.
Yes.
That's all we can take with us. And so
I should tell you sometime, Ricky, ask me about preaching Sunday morning and Sunday night when you get it to those questions.
So, so where in Honduras were you for these listeners who don't know?
Rivers, I flew into Roatan, and that is one of the rich. That's one of the most beautiful places on earth. Roatan, if you go there on a vacation, one you know, of the richest places. It's absolutely beautiful. And it is very rich, you know, where people, where most people would go to vacation. But the other part of Rotan is extremely poor. They call them the islanders. They're the people, you know, that have been on, that are Honduran, that have been on that island for years. And the poverty, the filth, the, you know, that is just absolutely incredibly sad. And, but then I also went to the mainland. I went up into the mountains. I think this is absolutely incredible. Way, so it's like you take a ferry from Roatan into the mainland, and then I went to Plan Escalon, where Guy Henry has his church there, Rivers. It's the same area where Paul, oh, let me think, where Sean Paul is at. And
Sean
Nancy.
Paul, yep.
They have a ministry there. I did not get to meet them. We were scheduled to meet them, and Nancy had to cancel. And, but, so we were in that area for 2 days. The need, so in Honduras, children go to school from like age 7 to 12. They go through fifth grade, and then they do not get any more education from the government. So Plan Escalon is a Christian school that gives them education from fifth grade to 12th grade. And there's only one school like it that's free to the students, and that is Plan Escalon. There are private schools, but families, you know, have to be very wealthy. Most
yep.
people in Honduras, the average person in Honduras, low income, the majority is low income, they make $4 a week, and they work 12 hours a day, and frequently 7 days a week. We can't even fathom that. But their poverty, the people do not live old. People that are 50 there look like they're 70 to us because the sun is so hot and they work so hard. So, but then
wow.
I also went in, up into the mountains. I saw one of the most amazing things to me. We went up into the mountains. There is a man up there. His name is Indonis, and he reached out to the American embassy because he came to America one time when he was a teenager, and he worked in New York to make a little money. And so he reached out to the American embassy, and they gave him money. They gave them the supplies to build a medical center up into the mountains, all rivers. Like, they're 3 hours away from any medical facility whatsoever. So they're building
wow.
this facility that the American Embassy is providing, and that blessed me that America is doing something great. Like,
that's good.
Yeah.
And so how did that go Sunday morning and Sunday night? For those listeners who may not know, obviously she needed to use an interpreter because Honduras is mainly a Spanish-speaking nation and not English.
Yes.
So
Rev, in the morning, you know, I spoke at a church that is right on the water, but it, you know, it seats, there was probably about 20 people there, and all females, and they dress up for church so sweet, and then they have all these little, they have dancers, like that worship, which is great. They have a girl that, you know, she plays the keyboard and leads the singing, and she does great. And then they are, it was an Episcopal church, and so I preached about faith. I honestly, Rivers, I preached about, you know, from your book. I preached, but also from the book of Luke, and how when Jesus enters our heart, he changes our life.
Amen.
And yes, so that went very well. So the night service was about 45 people, and there were men at that church, like 5 or 6 men, and children. The people are very proud of their children, and so they dress them up like adorable. But the presence of God was there Sunday morning and Sunday night. Sunday night, all but about 8 people came up for prayer. I asked them if they wanted to be born
Praise
again.
God.
But their pastor said, some of them really are good Christian, you know, good Episcopalians, but they just want somebody to pray for them, and God was so faithful. It's on YouTube, Rivers. You can listen to it on YouTube.
What's the video called?
Episcopalian, the Episcopalian Church of Roatan. But it's also under my name. It's also
Julie
under my name.
Julie Shukla. I'll look for
and
it that
was
way.
Released Monday. Yes. So, working with an interpreter was amazing. But, you know, Rivers, people loved to hear and to know. They do not know. It is not taught to them that we walk with Jesus. Jesus walks with us. We talk to Jesus. We listen. He talks to us through the Bible. Very simple things. You watch the faces of those people, and you can tell, Rivers, they did not know this. And they are grateful to know. And some of them, they just cried. This one lady, she fell to her knees on a concrete floor in this church. She was on her knees, Rivers, for over a half hour, just crying as I was preaching, like listening. And,
wow.
Yeah, but even the little children, Rivers, when I laid hands on them to pray for them, they cry. They're like really tenderhearted, and they want Jesus. I mean, Rivers, Natalia prayed for a man at the beach, and he was swearing. He was yelling swear words all up and down the beach. And she finally called out to him and said, "You come here." So he come over, and she said, "Well, Julie, we're going to take authority, you know, over him. And we're going to pray for him." And I said, "Okay." So he ended up giving his heart to Jesus and asked for prayer for his 7 children, and said, you know, that he wanted to be a better man and he needed freedom from alcohol. And so you will believe in God. His name is Milton. Every day.
Yes.
You know, but then he went up and down the beach hugging everybody, saying, "I met Jesus. I met Jesus. That's, you know, how they say Jesus, but
Jesus.
Jesus. Yes.
I'm laughing because it's just amazing that God can do that. He can change someone from cursing a storm and you and using the most foul of language. You possibly even using the Lord's name in vain and not knowing and going from that to you instead of you and Natalia saying, okay, we're getting away from him. Instead, to say, let's lay our hands on him instead and pray
right.
for him. And praying for them, talking sense into them, to where instead he goes and hugs people.
And then, Rivers, you know, the people, they are hunger for to know Jesus more than United States. Like, Natalia goes to the gas station, and the people, they recognize her, and they are so, like a friend. They're excited to see her, and they want her to pray for people. They want her, you know, to keep telling people about Jesus, and she gets so many opportunities to minister to people because they want, it's not like the United States. It's not like our hearts of our country, River, is harder and not open to the things of gospel in the same way. And it's like really exciting to see the people.
And we need to pray that our country would get that kind of hunger again for the things of God.
Amen. Amen. Yes.
We have to.
The man, his name is Nelson Rivers. They have been listening to Dr. Barkley. They listened to all of the Holy Spirit conference in California, and this is all new to them. So they asked Natalia, she's teaching starting tomorrow. She will be teaching this church that I preached at Sunday night, their people about being filled with the Holy Spirit.
Hallelujah. Man, this is powerful. And I have to say, I just love to watch God move like that. That's God.
Oh,
that's
yeah.
not just you and Natalia. That's God.
Oh, it is so God. But I have to say this, Riv. Natalia gives her whole life. She spends her days teaching these young girls English so they can make money and sell to the rich people in Honduras, in Roatan, you know, the things that they make. And she teaches, they're teaching other people how to make things out of wood. And they're doing so many things. It's like constantly going to the church and working on things can make money so that people can support themselves and so that they can get money to pull again. The kids are hungry. The cattle are hungry. They're the dogs. I mean, you can see their bones, you know, the ribs. It's a, it's amazing how the people make their food. They will get milk, and you watch them, Rivers, with their hands. The ladies will work the bag of milk until it turns into cheese so that they have cheese. And the fields, you know, it's like it was 120 degrees, and we watched people carrying heavy loads, working all day long, just, you know, we're
sitting there sweating, and they just work and work, and they don't have enough food. A lot of them eat rice, a little rice, a lot of beans, and these tortilla things made out of flour. And they will eat that 2-3 meals a day because that's all they have. But there's still love. They're still happy. There's no rules. They drive like crazy people because there's no traffic rules. It's hilarious how they drive. It's like, oh, man.
She's like, here, if they were driving like that, we'd all be throwing a fit.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah, they don't honk at each other for doing anything wrong. They honk at each other to let each other know where they're at. You know, like a motorcycle. There's motorcycles and scooters all over the place because very few people have cars. There's a lot of tax. Precious to me that several people came to church Sunday night in taxis.
That's cool.
Yeah, because they don't have their own cars.
I wish people in this country would get to that point to where they'd be like, I gotta get to church. How do I get there? I don't have a car. What do I do? Do I take a taxi? I wish that more people in this country would get there.
You know what, Rivers? They will. We will. We will believe God for that, and they will. So, Riv, I am rejoicing. I feel like it was the reward of the Lord that I got to go to Honduras. Natalia is coming here in July. I got two messages. I mean, I just got home yesterday, and I got a message yesterday from the pastor, Nelson. He asked, you know, to believe that he'll get to come and meet Dr. Barkley. And then I got another message from him again today saying, thank you for coming and blessing our people. You helped us. You need to come back, but we're believing God to come there. And I'm telling them, of course, they can stay at my house. And, you know, I told them, you cannot drive my car, but you can come to my house. You guys don't drive right.
Oh, man. Oh, yes. And lastly, before I get into the other things that I'm going to get into with Samuel and with the worship and that is, tell them about this thing with the Coke truck, because you had sent me this picture of that Coke truck.
So Coca-Cola there is, you know, it's like 90% Coca-Cola, 10% Pepsi. But the Coca-Cola bottles are very popular. You see them in almost everybody's house. You see them in people's yards. They use Coca-Cola bottles to line things in their yards like you and I would use a plastic, what's it called, you know, like to line a flower bed. They use Coke bottles. And so we watched a truck unload, you know, pull into a parking lot. He unloaded half of his Coke into a pickup truck, and then, you know, so they both with half of the load, and they went the opposite direction, and obviously they were taking Coke places, and I probably seen 10 trucks like that. But Rivers, Mama, you know, I'm getting you your new apartment, and we'll talk about that after your show tonight because you have an appointment for next week. But anyway, I will get that picture blown up. You'll have it on your wall because it's really cool.
And this gravel lot, So also you had told me that so the listeners know that so many of the roads there and what have you are all gravel.
Not only are they gravel rivers, but half of the road can, like the mountain, part of the mountain will fall down on the road, and they don't clean it up. So, you know, you're driving down the road, there's two lanes, and all of a sudden one of the lanes has all this stuff, so everybody has to make provision for everybody else. There's no sign that says, you know, like, warning, caution.
In Tennessee, they may call that, are you talking about like the rock slides that they may have in Tennessee at times?
Oh, yes. But then Riv, the other thing that they have is they'll have a road, and half of the road will fall off because it's built, you know, like it falls off sliding down the mountain the other side. And the road conditions, the potholes, the everything on the roads are hazardous. The roads are, it's dark at 6:30 at night, and yet there's still a lot of traffic after 6:30 at night. And, you know, it's so hot, most people can't afford air conditioning in their vehicle because it, you know, you have to get those air conditioning, their vehicles are older, and you have to get them filled up. And so it's just incredible, like the endurance of those people. They all want to come to America Rivers. I will bet you, uh, 12 people, you know, let us know that they want to come to America. The young guys, they really want to come to America, the land of opportunity, to make enough money to be somebody, to have something. They want to make money to go back and take care of their people. They're a beautiful people with a beautiful heart, and they need Jesus. And they want Jesus.
And, all right. I want to thank you so much for coming on and speaking to your listeners about this.
Yes. Thank you for letting.
You're so welcome. You're very welcome.
Okay. God bless you, River Shukla. You are a great man.
Thank you so much.
Okay. I'll talk to you soon.
All right.
Okay.
Love you.
Love you.
Love you too. All right. So you see here, listeners, I thank God for that testimony. I thank the Lord for that testimony. That is so powerful. And you see, listeners, that's the kind of stuff that happens when you follow the Great Commission. My mom was given an opportunity to go to Honduras, minister to all those people. She went there with Natalia, that missionary to Honduras from the United States. And in Mark 16, it says, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. And it talks about they will lay their hands on the signs and wonders will follow them, accompany them. They will lay their hands on the sick, and they shall recover. Oh, by the way, listeners, there was no exemption in there for, oh, by the way, it's COVID times. There's COVID rules, so sorry, can't lay hands on them. No! They will lay their hands on the sick, and they will recover. And if they drink deadly poison, it will not hurt them at all. And obviously, in Honduras, Julie told you, you know, it's very different there compared to here. They don't make the kind of money there that there is here. The person, the worst off person country is likely better off than the average person in that country. Excuse me. Sorry about that. But I'm serious. The worst person off in this country is likely better off than most people in that country. And so, as Americans, we need to be grateful for what we have. We need to be grateful. And also, we need to pray for revival in this country, that people would be more open to the things of God, that people would increase in hunger for the things of God. We need to believe God for that. Amen. Now, real quickly, I want to remind you to please go online to riversofmiracles.com to find out information about how you can get the book Rivers of Miracles. Once again, that website is riversofmiracles.com, R-I-V-E-R-S, ofmiracles.com, to find out information about the book. All right. Now, we're going to sing two songs tonight. Not going to do three because we're a little bit shorter on time. And then we're going to go into the Word of the Lord, continuing on with Samuel. We're going to finish chapter 2, go into chapter 3, and we're going to talk about the Lord calling on to Samuel. So, like I said, we're going to sing first. Lift up the name of Jesus, shout it everywhere you go. Lift up the name of Jesus, we're gonna let the whole world know. He said, if I be lifted up, I'll draw near unto thee. Lift him up, lift him up, yeah. Lift up the name of Jesus, shout it everywhere you go. Lift up the name of Jesus, we're gonna let the whole world know. He said, if I be lifted up, I'll draw near unto thee. Lift him up, lift him up. Deaf ears will be, blinded eyes will see. Chains will be broken. We'll have liberty. Lift him up. Lift him up. Today we're going to lift him up. Lift him up. He said, if I be lifted up, I'll draw near unto thee. Lift him up. Lift him up. Deaf ears will be open. Blinded eyes will see. Chains will be broken. We'll have liberty. Lift him up. Lift him up. We're gonna lift him up. Lift him up. Mm-hmm. Lift up the name of Jesus. Shout it everywhere you go. Lift up the name of Jesus. We're going to let the whole world know. He said, if I be lifted up, I'll draw near unto thee. Lift him up, him up. He said, if I be lifted up, I'll draw near unto thee. Lift him up. Lift him up. Lift him up. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. I have a friend. His name is Jesus. Jesus. I have a friend. His name is Jesus. Jesus. He's my shelter that I lean on. He's my shelter from every storm. I have a friend. His name is Jesus. I have a friend. His name is Jesus. Jesus. I have a friend. His name is Jesus. Jesus. I have a friend. I have a friend. His name is Jesus. Jesus, I have a friend. His name is Jesus. Jesus, he's my rock that I lean on. He's my shelter from every storm. I have a friend. Say it again. I have a friend. I have a friend. I have a friend. His name is Jesus. I have a friend. His name is Jesus. Jesus. I have a friend. His name is Jesus. Jesus. He's my rock that I lean on. He's my shelter from every storm. He's my rock that I lean on. He's my shelter from every storm. I have a friend. I have a friend. Say it again. I have a friend. One more time. I have a friend. His name is Jesus. Oh, lift your hands to him, Lord Jesus. Folks, listeners, just lift your hands up to him and magnify him. Oh, we thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. You're so good to us. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Now, Lord God, we thank you tonight for that your hand is on our life. It's great to be a Christian. It's great to serve you. It's just great to know that you are with us, that we can walk by faith and not by sight, that we can live by faith and that we can have what we ask you for. And I thank you, Lord, for these wonderful testimonies that my mother gave to these listeners tonight. And I pray that all of us would take this to heart. And now I thank you, Lord God, that as we enter into your word tonight, that you reveal things to us tonight about you, Jesus. And I pray, Lord God, that as we sang earlier, deaf ears will be open. All blinded eyes will see. All chains, whatever caused these chains are broken. And we have liberty through you tonight. I thank you, Lord Jesus, that you are the healer. You are the deliverer. And I just thank you, Lord God, that all of these things that we're not supposed to have, all of these things fall off of us tonight in the name of Jesus. All of these things fall off tonight in the name of Jesus. And now, Lord God, I make my confession over this program. I pray that sponsors and partners come into this program. I pray that finances come in. I pray that big increases in listenership come to this program. And most of all, Lord God, I thank you for the huge amount of souls coming into the kingdom of God as a result of this wonderful radio program. In Jesus' matchless name, amen. This is my, say this, let's make our confession. This is my Bible. I am what it says I am. I have what it says I am. And I believe everything it says. Amen. Turn with me, if you would, please, to the book of 1 Samuel chapter 2. Woo! Amen. 1 Samuel chapter 2. And we're going to turn to verse 27. Hallelujah. Amen. And now I've heard this thing before. And they say that a pastor's two favorite sounds are checks being ripped out of checkbooks and pages turning in the Bible. Amen. Hallelujah. 1 Samuel chapter 2. I'm going to begin with verse 27. You say, well, Miracle Man, what about 1 Samuel? First, same thing. 1 Samuel and 1 Samuel is the same thing. Just like the Corinthians thing. I don't know if you saw that or not, but... Whether it's first or one, and we're talking about a chapter of a book in the Bible, first and one, they mean the same thing. Amen. So, aren't you glad the joy of the Lord is your strength? Amen. I am. Now let's begin with verse 27 of 1 Samuel chapter 2. Now a man of God came to Eli and said to him, "This is what the Lord says. Didn't I clearly reveal myself to your father's house when they were in Egypt under Pharaoh? I chose your father out of all the tribes of Israel to be my priest, to go up to my altar, to burn incense, and to wear an ephod in my presence. I also gave your father's house all the offerings made of fire to the Israelites, by the Israelites. Why do you scorn my sacrifice and offering that I prescribed for my dwelling? And why do you honor your sons more than me by fattening yourselves on the choice parts of every offering made by my people Israel? Therefore, the Lord, the God of Israel, declares, I promised that your house and your father's house would minister before me forever. But now, the Lord declares, far be it from me, those who honor me, I will honor. But those who despise me will be disdained. The time is coming when I will cut short your strength and the strength of your father's house, so that there will not be an old man in your family line, and you will see distress in my dwelling. All good will be done to Israel in your family line. There will never be an old man. Every one of you that I do not cut off from my altar will be spared. Only to blind your eyes with tears and to grieve your heart, and all your descendants will die in the prime of life. Verse 37. And what happens to your two sons, Hophni and Phinehas, will be assigned to you. Both of them will die on the same day. I will raise up for myself a faithful priest who will do according to what is in my heart and mind. I will firmly establish his house, and he will minister before my anointed one always. Then everyone left in your family line will come and will bow down before him with a spice of silver and a crust of bread and plead, appoint me to some priestly office so that I can have food to eat. Chapter 3. And the boy Samuel ministered before the Lord under Eli. In those days, the word of the Lord was rare. There were not many visions. One night, Eli, whose eyes were becoming so dim that he could barely see, was lying down in his usual place. The lamp of God had not gone out yet, and Samuel was lying down in the temple of the Lord, where the ark of God was. Then the Lord called to Samuel. And Samuel answered, "Here I am." And he ran to Eli, and he said, "Here I am, for you called me." But Eli said, "I did not call you. Go back to bed and lie down." So he went and lay down. Again the Lord called, "Samuel." Samuel got up, went to Eli and he said, "Here I am, for you called me." "My son," Eli said, "I did not call. Go back to bed and lie down." Now Samuel did not yet know the Lord. The word of the Lord had not yet been revealed to him. The Lord called Samuel a third time. Samuel got up and went to Eli again, and he said, "Here I am, for you called me." Then Eli realized that it was the Lord that was calling the boy. So Eli told Samuel, "Go and lie down, and if he calls you, say, 'Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening.'" So Samuel went and lay down in his bed. The Lord came and stood there, calling as at the other three times, "Samuel, Samuel." Then Samuel said, "Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening." And the Lord said to Samuel, "See, I am about to do something in Israel that will make the ears of everyone who hears of it tingle. At that time, I will carry out against Eli everything that I spoke against his family from beginning to end. For I told him that I would judge his family forever because of the sin that he knew about. His sons made themselves contemptible, and he failed to restrain them. Therefore, I swore to the house of Eli, the guilt of Eli's house will never be atoned for by sacrifice or offering." And Samuel lied down in his bed, awake until morning. And then he opened the doors of the house of the Lord. He was afraid to tell Eli the vision. But Eli called him and said, "Samuel, my son." Samuel answered, "Here I am." "What was it that he said to you?" Eli asked. "Do not hide it from me. May God deal with you, be it ever so severely, if you hide anything from me that the Lord told you." So Samuel told him everything, hiding nothing from him. Then Eli said, "It is the Lord. Let him do what is good in his eyes." And the Lord was with Samuel as he grew up. And he let none of his words fall to the ground. And all Israel, from Dan to Beersheba, recognized that Samuel was attested as a prophet of the Lord. And the Lord continued to appear at Shiloh. And there he revealed himself to Samuel through his word. We'll read chapter 4, and then that'll be it. And Samuel's word came to all Israel. Now the Israelites went out to fight against the Philistines, and the Israelites camped at and the Philistines deployed their forces to meet Israel. And as the battle spread, Israel was defeated by the Philistines, who killed about 4,000 of them on the battlefield. When the soldiers returned to camp, the elders of Israel asked why did the Lord bring defeat upon us today before the Philistines? Let us bring the Ark of the Lord's covenant from Shiloh so that it may go with us and save us from the hand of our enemies. So the people sent men to Shiloh, and they brought back the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord Almighty, who is enthroned between the cherubim. And Eli's two sons, Hophni and Phinehas, were there with the Ark of the Covenant of God. When the Ark of the Lord's Covenant came to the camp, all Israel raised such a great shout that the ground shook. Hearing the uproar, the Philistines asked, "What's all this shouting in the Hebrew camp?" When they learned that the Ark of the Lord had come into the camp, the Philistines were afraid. "A God has come into the camp," they said. "We're in trouble. Nothing like this has ever happened before. Woe to us. Will deliver us from the hand of their mighty gods. They are the gods who struck the Egyptians with all kinds of plagues in the desert. But strong Philistines, be men, or you will be strong Philistines, be men, or you'll be subject to the Hebrews as they have been to you. Be men and fight." So the Philistines fought, and the Israelites were defeated. And every man fled to his tent. And the slaughter was very great. Israel lost 30,000 foot soldiers. The Ark of God was captured. And Eli's two sons, Hophni and Phinehas, died. That same day, a Benjamite ran from the battle line and went to Shiloh. His clothes torn and dust was on his head. When he arrived, there was Eli sitting on his chair by the side of the road, watching, because his heart feared for the Ark of God. And when the man entered the town and told what had happened, the whole town sent up a cry. Eli heard the outcry and asked, "What is the meaning of this uproar?" The man hurried over to Eli, who was 98 years old, and whose eyes were set so that he could not see. He told Eli, "I have just come from the battle lines. I fled from it this very day." Eli asked, "And what happened, my son?" The man who brought the news replied, "Israel fled before the Philistines. The army has suffered heavy losses. Also, your two sons, Hophni and Phinehas, are dead. And the Ark of God has been captured." After he mentioned the Ark of God, Eli fell backward off his chair by the side of the road. His neck was broken, and he died. For he was an old man, an old and heavy man, and he had led Israel 40 years. His daughter-in-law, the wife of Phinehas, was pregnant and near the time of delivery. When she heard the news that the Ark of God had been captured and that her father-in-law and her husband were dead, she went into labor and gave birth, but was overcome by her labor pains as she was dying. The women attending her said, "Don't despair. You have given birth to a son. but she did not respond, nor did she pay any attention. And she named the boy Ichabod, saying, "The glory has departed from Israel." Because of the capture of the Lord of God and the deaths of her father-in-law and her husband, she said, "The glory has departed from Israel." And the Ark of God had been captured. Now, so you may wonder, what on earth happened that the Lord called Samuel? So Samuel had been ministering to the Lord. As we read last night, he had been dedicated to the Lord by his mother. She had taken him to Shiloh, which is where Eli lived. He was ministering to the Lord in Shiloh, and then God called him. Now, at that point, though he was ministering to the Lord, he didn't yet know the Lord, because the word of the Lord in those days was rare. There weren't many visions. But obviously, he knew that he was serving the Lord, that he was at the house of the Lord. But he hadn't yet known the Lord. And so First Samuel is laying there in his bed, and he hears a voice calling. He thinks it's Eli. He gets up out of his bed, goes into Eli's bedroom, says, "Eli, I'm here. You called me." Eli says, "Well, Samuel, I didn't call you. Go lay back down." The same thing happened a second time and a third time. Then he said, "Samuel, it wasn't me that called you any of those three times. Please go back and lie down." It was probably the Lord. "If you hear that again, say, speak, for your servant is listening." So Samuel hears it again. It's the voice of God. And God speaks to him about Israel. He talks to him about what will happen to the house of Eli and how God is going to deal with the house of Eli, because Eli didn't deal with his sons. He failed to deal with them. At one point, he discussed it with them, but he didn't restrain them. He did not keep them from doing what they were not supposed to be doing. They were not supposed to be doing the things they were doing regarding the offerings. They weren't supposed to keep it for themselves. They weren't supposed to do those things that they had been doing. And so God dealt with Samuel and told him those things. Then Samuel gets up to minister before the Lord. And the things that he to do his duties in the house. Eli calls him and says, Samuel, what did God tell you? First, obviously, he's like, did he call you again? Samuel says, yes, Eli. And then, of course, Eli says, well, Eli, what did he tell you? Basically saying, don't hide anything from me that he told you. Don't hide a thing from me. If you hide it from me, may the Lord deal with you, however severely it may be. So Samuel tells him everything, not hiding a thing from him. And then sure enough, Eli's two sons, they end up dying on the same day. And the Ark of the Lord ends up getting captured. And then on the same day that they die, Eli dies too, after being made aware of what had happened to his sons and hearing that the Ark of the Lord had been captured. And the Philistine and the Israelites had lost all those foot soldiers. And you think about it, Eli knew. Eli had been told that his sons were doing wrong. But he didn't restrain them. He was just like, but Samuel stayed there and kept ministering unto the Lord as he had been dedicated to the Lord. And Samuel had such a servant's heart. He did. And you're going to keep noticing that as we continue on into the book of Samuel and what all happened. And also, of course, Samuel's mother-in-law. Eli's daughter-in-law. Yeah, one of her daughters-in-law. His daughters-in-law was to have a child. She ended up having a baby, but she died in her labor pains. Named him Ichabod because she said the glory had departed. But you see, God told Samuel what was going to happen. Like I said, in those days, the word of the Lord was rare. And obviously, there was a reason why Hannah had chosen to give Samuel to the Lord. And I remember I had told you about, that was your story hour cassette, and the way they portrayed that story. They had portrayed it, what had happened with Hannah and Peninnah, Elkanah, the sacrifice, and then Hannah praying to the Lord, and Hannah having that baby, naming him Samuel. And then talks about how he doesn't really want to leave at a certain point. But then she explains to him why. Then he agrees to go. And I love that verse where it says, and Samuel continued to grow up, and all Israel from Dan to Beersheba. And about how everything that Samuel had done and how they got to know him. And so Samuel became known as a prophet who would hear things from the Lord. Mind you, at first, like I had said, he didn't know the Lord. He knew who the Lord was, but in those days, the word of the Lord was rare. He didn't have a Bible to turn to like you and I do to learn about the Lord. He didn't have a Bible. Obviously, he knew of the Lord, and he knew that he was there to be a servant of the Lord, and different things like that, that he had been told through his mother and Eli and what have you. So I'm just glad that Samuel told Eli everything that God had told him. And he's just this boy. And he lied. I mean, he was lying in his bed awake until morning. Just says until morning. Doesn't say what time he went to sleep. He doesn't say what time the call was. Said the lamp hadn't yet gone out. So I'd say it was probably evening hours. So I'm assuming by the time all that stuff was done, I'm assuming it was probably 2, 3 a.m., 1 a.m., but Eli laid in his bed awake until morning, so it must have seemed like a long night, very long night. Lord God, I thank you for this word tonight. I pray that we would always be obedient to your word, that we would know, Lord God, when it is your voice, when it's you trying to speak to us, that we would find out that it's you speaking to us and not another voice. And I pray, Lord God, that we would put this word to practice in our lives. Thank you for these wonderful testimonies we heard tonight from my mother about what God did there in Honduras. And I just thank you, Lord God, for all these wonderful listeners. And I pray again, Lord God, healing over our bodies, health to our bones. And I pray, Lord God, that you just strengthen us. And continue to strengthen us. That you are our provider. You are our healer. Thank you for what you are to us, Jesus. And I just pray that we would just put this word to practice in our lives. In Jesus' name. All right. As for the Tigers, they have a homestand going on. They're playing the Pirates today and tomorrow. Then this weekend they have another home series. I'll let you know on Monday how this went. And until next time, I confess Psalm 91 over us in the name of Jesus. I say no plague shall come nigh us or our loved ones. You've given your angels charge over us to keep us in all of our ways. No evil thing will come near us in the name of Jesus. Amen. Until next time, God first, God always. So long, everybody.
She said that she thinks her cat's not working anyway, so she could give it to me.